Blog Talk Radio.
It's an exciting morning in Radio Land. This is Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio, a Christ-centered ministry serving the body of Christ as unto the Lord. We've got an exciting program this morning that touches the hearts of millions of Christians across America and the world, I should say hundreds of millions, and that is the question of the local church, the local system of church that we have all over America, littering the landscape, I should say. And the Bible says some are going to depart from the faith, and many have struggled with whether or not they should stay in their local church or leave or go find a new one or start a home group or what to do with their hands in the air. Hallelujah. And to discuss that with me today and to give and share a recent testimony of his walk with Christ is Brother Ron Myers. God bless you, Brother Ron. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed this morning, Todd. Thank you for having me on.
Amen, brother. You know, as I mentioned, Brother Ron, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4:3, now the Spirit speaketh expressly or specifically and explicitly that in the
Todd?
Yes.
There you go. I did not hear anything you said. I apologize. You just disappeared there for a couple seconds.
No problem, man. Hopefully it's being recorded correctly here. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, we have here a term, couple of terms here that are introduced, which means they are a reality because we see them right here embedded in the Holy Scriptures, divinely inspired. Some are going to give heed to seducing spirits, spirits that seduce you away from the truth. Picture yourself dancing with your lawfully under God, wedded wife, and some woman trying to seduce you away from your wife. That's the picture here. We are the bride of the bridegroom, Jesus, and there is a devil and his agents who seek by demonic influence and powers to draw you away, to lure, to seduce you away from the bridegroom, Jesus, before the marriage actually happens. The Bible tells us, Jesus taught, Matthew 25:1-13, that 10 virgins, the kingdom of heaven was likened unto 10 virgins. They were all espoused to the bridegroom, but only 5 made it, because the other 5 allowed something else in this world to seduce them. There are seducing spirits at work. Unless we're in Christ, in the cross, daily, we are going to be susceptible and ultimately drawn away from Christ if we're not rooted in abiding in Jesus Christ the vine. Hallelujah. All right. And doctrines of devils. There are doctrines of devils, Brother Ron, and we've got to be aware of that. Not all doctrine is truth. There are false doctrines. Doctrines of devils are, in general, those doctrines which contradict and differ from the holy doctrines of Scripture. Okay, verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. So, Brother Ron, you know, speaking of departing from the faith, recently you were sharing some information about a decision you had to make concerning a local church that you were very much a part of. Is that correct?
That's true.
I mean, you
that is
were,
very much true.
Were you involved
for what?
How long were you involved, brother?
I was there for a couple years. And if may I explain what we're talking about?
Oh, yes, please. Go right ahead.
Okay. In case any of those people are listening, which I've invited them to do so, what I found is that as you grow in the Lord, and one of the reasons I'm visiting with you, Todd, is because of your leadership scripturally and everything else, a lot of other people as well. What you don't know in the beginning really isn't an issue, but as you grow in the Lord and you begin to seek this, what the scriptures have to say, not what feels right, not what's popular, actually what's going to actually create issues with people in your family, people in your church, because it's real easy in our modern society to look the other way with a lot of things, try to make everything peaceful and harmonious, and not actually go and say, what does the Bible say about this issue? And there are situations going on in a lot of our modern churches where we're dealing with people with living homosexual lifestyles, things of that nature that are bleeding into leadership. And I don't think we need to go very far to look on, you know, the internet to see where several denominations have accepted people living in open sin as ministers and everything else. And I had to make a decision recently that had a lot of reasons why I did it. My family was the primary reason, but that was a component where I was beginning to see where, you know, there wasn't a stand being taken. And it was an uncomfortable decision for me. I love a lot of people there very much and still do and always will, and we'll stay in touch with them. But, you know, it was just a decision I had to make based upon scriptural principles.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. And, you know, now what, this is something actually that was known about, obviously, and even invited and continue to be invited into leadership. Is that correct, Brother Ron?
Yes, sir, that's true. That's true. And I don't know the whole story behind everything. You never do. You know, you have to know all the situation. But I was watching a situation where someone was in leadership and was doing something openly immoral, which had to be known by the whole congregation, and was still being asked to actively pursue a leadership role. And I did not stand up. I'm not in leadership at the church, and I
okay. Hey, Ron, can you hear me, brother? Hearing a lot of static here. Okay. Okay. Can you hear me, brother? Okay. Well, okay. Let me read this while we see if Brother Ron can get a little bit better on the line here. 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Notice, nor effeminate. Doesn't even say they're homosexuals. But they're men whom God made all men to be masculine, who have taken on and allowed themselves to be effeminate. That's all it takes to miss the kingdom of God, folks. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that is open sodomy, is what that's describing, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, nor shall inherit the kingdom of God. Again, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, he asked the Corinthians. And he gives classes of sinners here in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, as we see many times in the New Testament. In fact, we've written a little book called Soul Damning Sins. If you go on Amazon, you can get it in either Kindle or print. It's a small book, Soul Damning Sins. And let me tell you, it's like a stick of dynamite to your spiritual life, and it really helps to instill the holy fear of God in your life. We've had several people whose lives were off track. They had once been saved and didn't realize it so much, and were blinded by their own sin, but were backslidden. In that little book, the information in it, things you will unfortunately almost never, if ever, hear spoken or going through in a local church. I don't know if I've ever heard that. Brother Ron, are you back, man? Well, Brother Ron lost connection, ladies and gentlemen, so we'll just keep on in these next few minutes and see if he comes back on the line. In verse 10, 1 Corinthians 6, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he gives several classes of sinners, people that are not connected with Christ as they think they might think they are. And as some might think they are. But you cannot be living in any form of fornication and still be right with God. That for the word fornication, that's a word that's been conveniently removed and changed in the new versions. That's another issue. You can find out more at safeguardyoursoul.com on the Bible versions page. Fornicators, every and all forms of sexual immorality, if you will, all forms of that of sex that deviate from one man and one woman in the covenant of marriage. Okay? And so these are classes of sinners that, as you see, anyone practicing these sins is manifestly not in Christ, because no one that's in Christ is habitually living in sin. Those that abide in Christ overcome all sin. 1 John, we learned that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, he that abideth in him sinneth not. Okay? It's one thing. God made provision for our salvation. And he said, if any man sin, not when, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So there is provision for the Christian that sins, but there's no license or guarantee of heaven, not going to heaven, for anyone who lives in sin and is unrepentant. Every sin must be taken account of. And the first thing some people say, and I wonder where their heart is in this, well, what if it's a sin I don't know I'm committing? Let me tell you, if you're committing a soul-damning sin, you're going to know it, especially if you have had any part with Christ, because he's going to be convicting and drawing you back to himself. Those that abide in Christ, without exception, always bear the fruit of a holy life. John 15, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. When we abide in Christ, the fruit of it is that we live holy. God is holy. And he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And for this to be accepted in the local gathering of believers is absolutely astounding. It's the evidence of the prophetic words we see throughout Scripture of, in this last days, evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It is unfortunate that I had found out that this local fellowship that Brother Ron was a part of, the pastor is in league with Joel Osteen, which is a very telling fruit. In fact, that is very telling. The scripture teaches us that birds of a feather do flock together. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 25 through 27, tell us that there's a conspiracy among the prophets. He's talking specifically about the false prophets. There's always conspiracy and conspiring of the false prophets. Many times we get phone calls and emails where people ask, hey, what about such and such a leader or teacher that has risen up on the scene or that they're listening to? And one of the things we want to share with them based on the scripture there in Ezekiel 22, 25 through 27, I want you to become very, as your brother in Christ, very familiar with this truth, friends. This is a major point of discernment. If a ministry is aligning with other false ministries, I don't want to break your heart, but let it be, folks, because our hearts need to be broken and only set upon Christ, the nail-scarred, the one and only nail-scarred risen Savior. Now, if a ministry that you're listening to and tuning into is connected, you go on their website and you look at their links and who they're quoting and stuff like this, it's connected with a known false ministry, Joel Osteen being the most obvious false ministry in America, the second grader who has read one page in the Gospels knows that Joel Osteen is not preaching the original Gospel or anything even remotely close to it, okay? The only people that want to listen to Joel Osteen, and I'm going to tell you this because I used to be there many years ago, are those who want to be told everything's okay and that God just wants you to be blessed, comforted, and rich in this fleeting life. Think about the runaway bestseller that he wrote. that his gullible prey, his self-serving prey, has run out to buy by the tens of millions, and that's your best life now. Is that what the Bible teaches, is that your best life is now or in heaven? If your best life is now, where does that mean you're heading for eternity? Heaven or hell? Think about it. The answer is very obvious, friend. Your best life is not now. Jesus said to his own, that you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus said, blessed are ye when you're shunned and persecuted and afflicted. Read the Gospels afresh, beloved saints, and learn the constitution, the truth of the Lord for yourself. No true Bible student that is a Berean, Acts 17, 10, and 11, could possibly sit and listen to a man like Joel Osteen spew out complete falsehoods that somehow are being pawned off as the gospel. That is not the gospel. Jesus Christ did not come to the earth to die to make all of his children rich if they say all the right things and do all the right things. It's nothing but New Age pagan teachings that are packaged. Yeah, all they got to do is put stuff like that with a smiling face in a so-called church building, and people buy it as if it's the gospel, which shows our complete biblical illiteracy, folks. Joel Osteen rarely even uses a scripture. And when he does, what? It's actually taken out of context. Not only its immediate context, but the chapters and books and verses of the whole of the New Testament and the scriptures completely. So that particular pastor that Brother Ron was under, and I don't have anything against him, but, you know, let God be true and every man a liar. If my doctrine is not the Bible, period, then I would pray that someone would come correct me. And we pray this pastor will be repentant, completely repent, and cease to seek to build his own kingdom in lieu of Christ. Kingdom. God didn't send his only begotten son so that men could go to seminary or go to some school of training. I've been to two of them, by the way, and I denounced them long ago. So that they could go to seminary or wherever they went to get their so-called marketing training and then come out and farm their community and build their own little empire in Jesus' name. That's the ultimate manifestation of taking the name of the Lord your God in vain, or using his name for your own self-serving purposes, and build these fast-moving, pumped-up young people churches, and the money's flowing, and the buildings are, you know, continually being grown out of, and, you know, telling people what they want to hear, never preaching on sin, never preaching on the essential of personal holiness, never preaching on the biblical essential of repentance. Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. This is not, this is an absolute imperative, saints. That's the first word out of John the Baptist's mouth in his ministry, Matthew 3:2. Jesus' mouth, the first word out of his mouth in his ministry was repent, Matthew 4:17. The Apostle Peter, day of Pentecost, the first word out of his mouth when he preached was repent. Need we any further biblical establishment that the doctrine of repentance must be preached? In fact, Jesus specifically told his apostles and us that repentance and the remission of sins must be preached. Whenever you're listening to a minister, this is another point of discernment. If they're not speaking about about repentance, you must conclude that they're not preaching the original gospel. They're not preaching the original gospel. You know, we are so out of whack and departed from the faith, folks, and it's been going on a lot for a long time before you and I were even born, that as we get in the Word of God, we're going to begin to see the truth. This is what happened with Brother Ron. He began to study the Scriptures and look closer at the Scriptures. Very sincere man of God, this Brother Ron. And he began to see the truth. That's exactly what happened to me in my 20s. Bible and begin to study the Word of God, and I begin to scratch my head figuratively and wonder, why aren't these doctrines being preached? Here's the most cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith is Christ. We call it Christology, the study of Christ. When do we ever take Christ's time on Sunday morning to go into the Word of God about Christ specifically, with hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in the New, and all the magnificence of this divine Savior that came from heaven to bleed and to be buried and to die for our sins? Can you imagine that we all are if we don't take time to seek and to study this magnificent Savior that we claim to be serving? It makes you wonder where our motives are. Is it all self-serving? Will we hear on that day, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you." Matthew 25, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. God forbid, folks, this is a call of mercy to each of our hearts, to cry out with David, "Lord, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Psalm chapter 27. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." That's where we get the word apostasy, from the Greek word there for depart. "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Seducing spirits that tell you it's okay, it's legal, so it's okay. Man's government has made it legal, so it's okay, right? Wrong. Dead wrong. There's only one judge of what's right and wrong, and he gave us a 66-book canon called the Bible, God's Word, to which we're all going to give account and be judged by. Romans 2:16, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. Oh, John 12:48. "The words that I've spoken unto you, they're going to judge you on that day," Jesus said, John 12:48. So we better take heed and do Christianity God's way, beloved. The Lord has given us his word. He has given us his prescribed way to walk with him. And any other way is false. And any person teaching any other way is an absolute accursed person, according to Paul. Oh, brother, that's harsh words. Well, you know what? Argue with God. That's what his apostle Paul said, that if anyone teaches any other gospel, that person is accursed. Accursed. Make no mistake. Accursed. "I marvel that you are so soon removed," Paul writes, Galatians 1, 6 through 9, "from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." There are those among us today, folks, more than ever, because evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse in this last hour, 2 Timothy 3:13, that would pervert the gospel of Christ, pervert or change it in any way. Do you know the definite article of the gospel of Christ, beloved? How long could you speak if I asked you or someone asked you, "Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about the gospel. What is it?" How long could you talk about it? What is your knowledge of the Word of God? The Scripture tells us to study to show yourself approved personally. You, God holds you accountable to study, to show yourself approved unto God, not man. A workman, notice the word work. Are you a man who's diligent at his work? It takes work to study. Okay? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The only way you will not be ashamed in the end, the only way you will not be ashamed when asked to give a reason of the hope of Christ in you, 1 Timothy 3:15, is to know the Word of God and have an operating knowledge, a working knowledge of it. Amen. Verse 8 of Galatians 1, but though we, Paul says we, him and those who minister with him, or an angel from heaven, not hell, but heaven, even an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, that the command of the gospel, the first one, was to repent, as we reviewed earlier. If any angel of heaven or anyone, we, Paul says even, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you originally, that is, the original gospel, let him be accursed. As if that isn't enough, listen to verse 9 as we close this passage. Before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He repeats himself, let him be accursed. This is violent language, make no mistake. God is dead serious about people learning and loving him, and those who do will drink in and search his word. When you love someone, you want to know all about them. You want to know all about them. Study to show yourself approved is what the scripture commands, beloved. The Berean believers searched the scriptures daily when they heard Paul preach to see whether or not what he said was truth, true or false. They held Paul accountable to the word of God. No man is above the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans chapter 3, verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar, beloved. We've written two books on this topic. I want to point your attention to, they're not written so we can get rich, trust me, by the sale of these books, and they do sell, but not in any great quantity. We didn't write them to be a best-selling author. We wrote them to help the body of Christ, the truth-seeking remnant of Christ, to be astute in their study of God's word and their discernment of the many false prophets Jesus and John the Apostle warned us about in this late hour. The name of those two books, which you can get right there on Amazon, number one, Predators in Our Pulpits, Predators in Our Pulpits. You can also go to safeguardyoursoul.com and get them. Just click on the store page. You can get them on Amazon, both in Kindle and print. The second one on this topic, and let me tell you, I don't think you'll be able to put either of these books down once you start reading them. They're page turners. As you can see on safeguardyoursoul.com, the many, many comments of those who have read these books. Okay, the second one is Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. The scripture tells us, and here's something that we should also look for in those who are servant, they should be servant leading, is that they're teaching discernment. They are actually teaching believers to discern. So those, what do you teach your children? Because you want them safe from predators and from people that would harm them. You teach them how to discern. Don't talk to strangers. You know, we tell them don't ever go near a car where somebody's calling you to come over. All of these things. Why? Because you don't want them to be deceived and snagged and harmed by the enemy. The same goes for us spiritually. Listen to Ezekiel 44:23 as we close. And they, that is the true servant leaders of the Lord, shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane and cause them to discern, there's the word discern, between the unclean and the clean. God's people must learn and help others to know the importance of the biblical truth of doctrine, God of discerning, doctrine and discerning. God bless you, friend.